We are about to speak to soccer royalty here in Australia. Our man Mark Bosnich is on the line. G'day, Boz.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you going, Fletch?
Oh, I love Boz.
Energy.
The energy he brings.
Yeah.
Now, the last time we spoke, now, how did you go? Because I had to give you the little secret vaccination.
All good.
You got that? All good.
Well, seeing that I was trying since April, thank you so much. All good. So I'm booked in for August, so just around the corner.
A second or
and
first?
Thank you very much. I don't know what day it is. I'll have to have a check.
No. Is this your first? What? Is this your first vac or your second?
That's the funniest thing, I think, every day when they go and get a vaccination. Well, I've been trying since April.
I know. And you were, this time last year, I saw you down the fish markets. We might have had you on.
Yeah.
And you were very paranoid about this virus. And
well,
so
not
you
paranoid,
should be.
But not paranoid, but careful. We didn't know nothing about
That's
it.
That's right.
We know a lot more, obviously, about it right now. Some know more than others. But, I mean, the mixed messaging has been very difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I feel very, very sorry for a lot of people. And, look, in times like this, you've got to make the best call from what you think, from your intuition, from your experience and from whatever you listen to. And it's down to the individual. So people that are much smarter about this than we are, but you've got to make the best decision for what you think for you and your family. But we're in the midst of right now. So tough times don't last, but tough people do.
I was waiting for a quote. I said, Bozo, I need a quote. And that's it. You've inspired me today. You know what you should do? You should get into swimming. You and Dean Boxall.
Fletch, honestly, when I was very young, Joel Fletch, right? I was very, very fortunate to be blessed in a lot of sports, athletics, cricket, rugby league. I play everything you can think of. Swimming, I used to take a day off. I sink when I come to school. I don't know why, but I'm just not good at swimming. Yeah?
No, I know, but I've seen you when you gyrate against a fence. You could coach easily.
Hey, Boz,
thank you for that lovely introduction, Joel. That was marvellous.
No, that's all right. Now, you do know, and this is what I'm being told, by the way, is that when you get vaccinated, it actually doesn't work unless you take a selfie and post it. Have you come across the same information?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I don't really think that people, especially at this moment in time, are going to look at my Instagram account or Twitter and go, "Oh, yeah, I really wanted to see Mark Bosnich getting vaccinated." I don't think that's the way to go right now.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Hey, Boz, before we get into the Olympics, we had an enthralling finish to the Euros, and I was hearing third hand, and I'm assuming this is right. I actually told this to Simon Hill and Broski, and they actually didn't know this. What I have been told, which maybe you told me, Fletch, was that when you're goalkeeping in those penalty shootouts, your big clue to see where they would go would be where the planting foot would go. Is that true, boys?
Absolutely spot on. Absolutely spot on. It's something that I was told when I was very young by the best trainer that I had, Ron Corrie. He was an Australian international here. And he used to always say, if you can slow yourself down to that minute second and hold yourself and see where that non-kicking foot goes, generally, not always, but generally that gives you an idea. That and the run-up. If it's a curled run-up, normally if it's a right-footed run-up and they're curling in, normally it goes to the goalkeeper's right. So with the curl, if it's straight run-up plus that foot pointing that direction and it's close to the ball, normally if it's a right-footer, it goes to the goalkeeper's left. But it takes a lot of practice and a lot of speed from a reflex point of view to slow it down, a little bit like those long-lens cameras when you keep your finger on the button. If you can slow it down like that, that gives you a better opportunity. But in saying all that, with the penalty kicks, if they miss kick it, or if you got someone like Dwight York, my ex-teammates, and we used to practice every day, he got so good, he'd just look at the goalkeeper and wait for the goalkeeper move. He'd put it the other side. If the goalkeeper didn't move, he'd just put it straight in the corner. It's very, very difficult. And also now, they're much more stricter. You have to have at least 1 foot on the line before you dive. So it makes it much more difficult.
Hey, Bozza, let's talk about the Oli Roos versus Egypt. Tell us our scenario. Can we get through with a draw, or do we got to win?
Yes, we can. No, yes, we can. We can get through with a draw. So, look, normally in tournaments, there's two ways of saying how teams can go through, whether it's your result against the opposite, another team head-to-head, or goal difference. In this tournament, it's going to be goal difference. So, depending on the result of the other game, whichever way it happens, a draw will be enough for us to get through. But Egypt, the only team yet not to score in this tournament, and they've done really well. They've surprised a lot of people, especially with their opening result against Spain when they drew. But it's quite clear for them. They have to win. And sometimes that can be a little bit better to know that you just have to win. You know, Whereas sometimes when you know a draw or a win, it can sort of leave you in two minds. So I think Australia should go for the win. I really do. And they've done outstandingly well. I mean, no one gave them a hope when they saw the draw. That result against Argentina is arguably the best result in Olympic history for any Australian football team. The Spanish game, yeah, they come up against a better team, but they've got a real opportunity tonight to make sure with a draw or a win that they'll progress to the quarterfinal stage where the real business starts.
Hey, Boz, and it is in the middle of a Premier League season. Now, my boys was doing their research and they're trying to look for their players.
Yeah.
And they're saying, Dad, why is it under-23s? What do you make of that? Do you like the idea that it's under-23s?
Yeah, I do. I'll tell you exactly why the reason is. The big thing for world football, for the governing body, and rightfully so, is the World Cup. So they don't want nothing to take away from the World Cup. If they just left it open slather like it used to be way back, you know, 50, well, I think before 1992 or something like that, they can have a look at it. Then it can become a real rival to the World Cup, because you know how popular football is, especially worldwide. So what they've done is just made it part of the development stage, which is very, very important, but also give the ability for teams to have a few overage players, whether that be if they want to have like a, you know, like they had a Neymar in Brazil or, you know, something like that, or whether it be that just somebody, you know, they want somebody to help them a little bit and their team to get a gold medal. So it's still very big for footballing countries, but it's not as big as the World Cup, and that's how FIFA wants it to stay, which is completely understandable. I can understand that totally. And I think you'll find as well, I mean, I was talking to some friends in America about basketball, that the Olympics has traditionally been the big thing in basketball, and they're trying to make that move from, you know, the Olympics being the biggest thing to the World Cup of basketball being the biggest thing. But we done that, like I said, quite some time ago, and it's understandable why. But it's a very, I mean, I saw there was an article, I think it was in The Guardian, by I think it was Jonathan Liu in England, saying it was time for, you know, for them to shelve. And I don't think that's the right idea. You know, clubs can still not let their players go for the Olympics, as officially it's not a FIFA window. That's pretty much around the world. So, but it's an important part of the development for the young players, and it provides you memories and that for quite some time.
What about the girls, Mark? The Matildas, there's been a bit of, not outrage, I suppose, but they're just saying that their tactics.
You're right. It's not outrage. A lot of people in Australia were just disappointed in the way that they played. But I will say this, and I say this all the time to people when it comes, especially to national football. Playing lovely football at national football will get you a lot of kudos, but nothing much else. It's great if you can do that, if you can marry the both. But that international football, and when I say international football, I mean even international club football, is about the results. And they had to do what they had to do to qualify. They're qualified now, which they'll play Great Britain in the quarterfinals. And that wasn't an easy group either. You know, you got USA, the world champions. You got Sweden, who, you know, are looking every bit. That, you know, they're going to be an absolute, well, they are a force, but they're going to be a real force. So for them to get through was, for me, in that type of group, they just got to do what they have to do. And now the real business starts in terms of the knockout scenarios. And, you know, and this is where it's really going to matter.
Boz, you, 1992, you were part of the first ever Olly Roos team there at Barcelona. Well, what are your memories of that? And not only being part of it, you guys had a mighty tournament. You made it through to the semi-final. What do you recall back in 1992 of the Barcelona Olympics, the village, the people you met, etc.?
We'll start with that semi-final. We got walloped 6-1. That's only one of the two times that I've conceded six goals. And the two times I conceded it was with the Socceroos, the Olly Roos, and the other time in the Confederations Cup. And the two times I considered that one of our players got sent off, unfortunately. So that's the first one. Second thing was we didn't have to wear a mask, which was great back then in 1992. But the village itself was exceptional. It was really good to be amongst all the best athletes in the world. There was a mess hall for dinner, which was like, I don't know, it was massive, absolutely huge. You could go at any time. You know, those machines, flesh, you know, when you go put money in the machines, you know, we'd do it, you know, and you go get a Kit Kat or something
vending
like
machines.
That. They were free. They were free.
Yeah, us me mortals, we call them vending machines.
That's it. There was a little bit that was a bit difficult, I think. And I think they learned at that time, because everybody was all sort of close together, that, you know, when some athletes were out of their tournament or had finished their tournaments, especially the ones that had done really well, and then they started celebrating, it could provide a little bit of problem for the athletes that are waiting, you know, for their, and they wanted to get good sleep. But it was right on the beach there at Barcelona.
Oh,
it was absolutely
tough life.
It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of questions. That was the year 1992. That was the original dream team. So the NBA was
correct,
just starting to kick off. Were they
correct? And I was.
Did you hang out with any of them?
I was just about to get to them. So the dream team
Thanks,
hired.
Boss.
the best restaurant in the best hotel in Barcelona, and they've actually booked the floor for themselves. So we didn't get to see the dream team, but as I went to watch them play the final against Croatia. They were outstanding to watch, though. It was quite awe inspiring, if you can say, to see an opposition team, in this case Croatia, basically saying to them with about 5 minutes to go to take it easy, because they were already winning by 25, 30 points. They were an awesome team.
Okay, second question. In the actual Athletes Village, I was talking to James Magnuson earlier. I'm just a name drop. And he said there was McDonald's at every Olympics. I want to know, after you get knocked out, is there alcohol?
Yes, that's my question.
Is there alcohol in the village?
Yeah,
can you have a few scotches?
No, I can't recall like it being explicit alcohol in the village. I remember we got knocked out. It was right towards the end because it was semi-finals. Obviously, we had the third and fourth place. So it was very, very little time. I remember a Pizza Hut. There was a Pizza Hut there. Mm. But I can't, from the top of my head, I'd have to go through my diary, sort of say, oh, there was definitely alcohol. I think that had to be okayed with the powers that be for people that had finished. But like I said, there was a little bit of trouble because, like I said at the start, when some people had sort of finished their event or whatever and they were celebrating, it was keeping other people who were still waiting to do their event up. So I think they sort of curtailed that. It was all under control either way. So the thing, you had to go through the powers that be.
Sorry, I only had two questions now. Another one's just jumped in. Did you just say you got to go through your diary?
My diaries. I keep diaries all the time, yeah.
So you've got a diary.
Everyone should.
Hang on. So have you got a diary from back in 1992?
I wish I did.
Yes.
Okay. Have you got a diary from that night you ran into Stevie Wonder?
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Mate, when you eventually leave us, obviously, when you get, you know, I'm talking 20 or 30 years down, could I have your memoirs?
They're in a safety deposit box, but you know what? I might put that in the will that you can have access to them. How's that?
That would be a movie that you wouldn't believe. That would be so good. Is there everything in there? Is it no holds barred?
No, it's not. No, okay. it's not no holds barred. Yeah, okay. There might be a few little code things in there, but it's no holds barred, because you know what I'm like, Fletch. It's always got to come back to me. So if there's anything code, you'd have to still come back and talk to me.
Mm. No, I got you. Okay, are you doing one? Like, would we make it? Like, are we going to make the diary today?
This
like,
week's diary.
Yeah, when you go,
no.
Is it like?
No.
Oh, no. Well, you're already in there. I have a scheduled diary. And then I have obviously one that I put in every now and then about the events that have gone and interpretations. But you guys are in there from today.
I don't want schedule. That's bullshit. I want to be in the good one.
Yeah, no one's reading the schedule diary. Right.
Me, all Michael right, well, Jordan, Pizza Hut.
I'll put in Spoke with Joel and Fletch today.
Thanks, Mozart.
Extraordinary introduction. And really good questioning.
Yes.
And I'll say, Fletch actually asked about the diaries. Just remember this conversation. XMB.
Yeah. Yes. Bozo, how often do you put entries into the diary, the non-scheduled one? On a consistent basis? Once a week?
Depends on what's going on. Yeah, depends on what's going on. I wouldn't say once a week. I'd say three or four times a week.
Wow.
Depends what's going on.
Does it have to be a big event?
Well, no, not necessarily. It may be a big event for me, but it may not be a big event for someone else. So maybe something just as trivial as the fact that, okay, well, I took my young son training, sort of something like that or whatever. Or, today I went to the fish market and I bought this. It may be something like that. And I run into Brian Fletcher. And there you go. So it might be something just as trivial as that. Or maybe the fact that, for example, tomorrow morning on Stan, you've got Ange Postecoglou, Celtic taking on Midtjylland in their second leg. So I'll watch that game, and if I pick something up from that game, I might write something in because Ange has been in there before, yeah?
Okay. I'm starting one. You've inspired me.
Yeah.
You've inspired me, Bozo.
You used to sit out of school, remember, in English? You used to have the three sections, and the first section was the diary, no?
False. I left school in year 10. English was my best subject, though, so I was pretty good.
Boz, the last time we spoke to you, we said, take us into the life of Mark Bosnich. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you were right into your cooking. What's the latest? Have you caught on anything else?
Well, pretty much so. It's cooking, exercise, every now and then. I've limited it, obviously, this time in terms of going out shopping, to make sure we get shopping for the family. Sarah, my fiancée, is taking pretty much care of homeschooling for Allegra. And taking young Cassius out, he's only four, so he doesn't really understand completely what's going on, even though he's sort of been, he notices it. But and I'll try to take him out for exercise as much as he possibly can, that's all. And trying to keep spirits up with everyone as best you can possibly can, because you can tell on the people's faces. That, and anyway, I live right here in the CBD, but I can just tell by their mood and that they're not particularly happy, and I can understand completely why. So you just got to keep everyone's spirits up as best you possibly can. That's all.
Well, Bozza, we appreciate your time, mate. As we always do, it's always a good fun chat. And if we can find our way somehow into the memoirs, we'd be greatly appreciated with that. Mate, we'll chat soon.
All right, take care, all. Bye.
See you, Bozza.
There he is, Mark Bosnich, just a legend of Australian sport. He's just good energy, isn't he?
I tell you what, he can talk very, very well.
Yeah, he's great. He's brilliant.
I wonder if he writes as fast as he talks.
Oh.
Like his diary could just be, because you know some people can.
Yeah. What do they call that? The journos.
Shorthand?
Shorthand.
Yeah.
Outstanding. I love chatting to Bozza.